Morning to each of you, and greetings in the name of Jesus. Good to be here this morning and worship with you all. Good to see the visitors here and welcome with us to worship with us this morning. We do have one congregational announcement before we go into the message. On Wednesday evening, we plan to receive Lori Brocker by letter of transfer. We met with them last evening and see no reason to transfer her membership. So just as an announcement ahead of time, we plan to do that Wednesday night. So I would like to put a little, write some things up here on the board, and I think maybe it'd be better if you all would sing while I do that. Evan, if you would lead the congregation in hymn number 261 while I write some things up here. Okay, so this morning we'd like to look at the doctrine of the resurrections. And if you don't think that the Bible says a lot about the resurrections, you start studying and you're like, wow, okay, we're going to cut some things out. There's a lot here. And when you're thinking about the resurrections, I'd like to take a text verse from John chapter 11. And we won't look at this for maybe some of the first part of the message, but we're referring to it several times. What Jesus told Martha here after Lazarus had passed away. John chapter 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And that is a question that I think we could ask ourselves this morning. Do we believe this? Do we believe this? What Jesus taught here. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So, using that kind of as a platform from here on out, we'd like to look at some of the resurrections that are in the Bible. The first one also, as we think about today, what today represents is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is obviously number one on our list here. And we'd like to just read parts of that story. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. And I know that, you know, sometimes we look at this and say, well, we know this, we've read it. You know, somehow Luke 24, when you read the whole thing, it's one of those meaningful passages talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we'll skip around a little bit. We'll start at verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. They remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Let's jump down to verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled that were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And we know that after that, then he went up into the heavens. We have the key resurrection. That's the first point. The first one we looked at, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when Paul was preaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that's one of the key passages on the resurrection. And he's saying that this is the foundation. This is the foundation of your belief. He said, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then he said, you're still in your sins. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation from which we preach today. And all the other resurrections we look at, except maybe the resurrection of damnation, and I'm not sure how to feel about that. If Jesus Christ had not risen, I guess it would all be the resurrection of damnation, except I don't know there'd be a resurrection. Well, we know that was not God's plan from eternity. God knew from eternity past that Jesus Christ would give his life. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation from which we preach and teach today, and it is the foundation of all the resurrections we want to look at this morning. Now, just maybe as a little bit of a sideline, it's not a sideline, but I tried to decide if I should do this to you or not, but I'm going to pull back from your memory a little bit on the feast. Remember, we looked at the feast a little over a year ago. That's less than a year ago. And so the first one should be pretty easy. So it depends on when you believe Jesus died, if it's Thursday or Friday, which had been the feast of what? Passover. And then immediately following that was the feast of? Just about, not quite. One more in between. Unleavened bread. And then today is what? The feast of first fruits. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when Paul talks about that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he was the first fruits of them that slept. He's saying that Jesus Christ, he was the first one to be resurrected, to have power over death. And so he is considered the first fruits. And he rose on the feast of the first fruits. To me, that's just significant that all through those years in the Old Testament, they celebrated the feast of first fruits. And I don't know. Maybe there were men in there or people that said, you know what, I think it points to Jesus' resurrection. I don't know. But most likely, most of them didn't think about it. But as we look back, we realize that all through those years, when they celebrated the Feast of First Fruits, and they bought of their best, they brought of their first, that was pointing toward a day when Jesus Christ would be the first fruits of them that slept. I think it's just beautiful. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation from which we preach today. Now, secondly, the resurrection of the believer on earth. And I'd like to turn to several scriptures here to, as we think about this resurrection, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. That if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We're going to stop there just for sake of time. And I would love to preach on the righteousness of faith, not having my own righteousness, but I'm going to lay that aside for today. But here it is, one of the key verses we're going to look at, that Paul's identifying the resurrection of Jesus Christ as an illustration of how you and I can live, experience the power of his resurrection today, not in the future, today. And he says, and he wants to live in the power of that resurrection. And he also says, I understand that living in the power of this resurrection means I'm also going to be, I'm going to have fellowship with suffering. And I'm also going to be conformed unto his death. That if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Which one's that? We'll get to that in a bit. It's not complicated. But Paul said, I want to live in the power of the resurrection in this life so that I can attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Another resurrection. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 6, which to me is another similar scripture in using the death and life of Jesus Christ as an illustration of what happens in the life of the believer today. And We're gonna butt in at verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, Ronald was talking about newness of life earlier this morning. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, that's not talking about future. That's talking about today. The experience that you and I can have today in Jesus Christ. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be a slave to sin. That word serves a slave. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more rule over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore rule in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have rule over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves slaves to obey, his slave ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Somebody asked me if I'm going to preach on the life of Jesus Christ and the power of something like that, and I said, Before you live, you got to die first. And I was being sarcastic, but you know, one of the things that I can't help but think about is, you know, we love to talk about living in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ, but you know, all through the scriptures, it is saying to live in that resurrected power, it means that I first of all must have to identify with Jesus Christ in his death. You know, even nature itself teaches you the same thing. Some of you are going to start planting a garden soon, or maybe some already have, I don't know. But you know what happens before that life comes out? That seed's going to have to die. And we're looking forward to new life, but you know what happened outside, in the grass, what happened before this winter? So it died. Now before we have life again. And this morning, it's one of the beautiful things. And I think Romans chapter 6 helps us to understand what happens, the power of the resurrection, and the life of the believer. And one of the things that can get us a little tripped up sometimes in our thinking is we understand that we struggle in the flesh. And so we don't always know where to put that. I believe that Romans chapter 6 helps us make it very clear to us that one of the things that Jesus Christ does, the power of the resurrected life, is he breaks the power of sin. And you know, before you were a Christian, before you were saved, you just couldn't help but sin. You wanted to sin. You enjoyed sinning. But what Jesus Christ does, he breaks that power. That doesn't mean you're not going to struggle with sin. It doesn't mean you won't even sometimes fail. But the power of sin is broken. Because when you look at some of that those verses and you read some of that, you're either a slave to sin or we are a slave to righteousness. And we know the difference. We know the difference in our own heart, whether we're a slave to sin or a slave to Christ and righteousness. And that is living in the resurrected power that God wants us to today. You know, did you ever think about the fact that, well, if I could do life over again, here are some things I would do different. You know you can do that in Jesus Christ? In Jesus Christ, you can start again. In Jesus Christ, you can live a new life. And you can pick out someone that you know was living a life of sin and today is living for Jesus Christ. Who's the person you remember? It's the person today. In Jesus Christ, you can start again and you can live a new life. When we think of the past of someone, it's in fleeting, and we say, but oh, they're so different today. In Jesus Christ, as he breaks the power of sin, understand with me, that doesn't mean we don't struggle, and it doesn't mean we won't sometimes fail, but we are no longer a slave to sin. And if we are a slave to sin, it's because we have not yet died. As I see in Romans chapter 6, that a crucifying the old man, he that is dead is freed from sin. The Bible teaches us. And I think about the newness that we can have in Christ. And if you want to start life over again, listen to these verses. Jesus told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Colossians 3:9-10. Did you read those verses this morning? I'll read them again. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And back to that text first. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And I want us to get that verse. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, I think for us to understand the rest of these resurrections here this morning, we're going to have to look at the first resurrection and the resurrection of damnation. There are other resurrections. As you read through the Bible, there are other phrases that you could put in here that includes the resurrection, just that I had to draw the line somewhere. And also, the bottom line is at the end, it's not that many resurrections. Okay? It's worded different. There's different words in there, but it's still sometimes referring to the same resurrection. And so, let's start back in Daniel. You know, most of the teaching we have about the resurrection is in the New Testament. However, the text verse we read is also key that Martha, who's comforted about serving, understood that there's a future resurrection. And so they believed in it. She said, I know that he will be raised again in the resurrection at the last day. We also know that Job, very early on, testified to this. And he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And this morning we believe in a bodily resurrection. Job believed that. I believe that in my flesh shall I see God. Even though the worms were, probably was in bad shape, or he was in bad shape, no questions about it. And so, but also Daniel. Daniel talks about it. We're going to start there in Daniel chapter 12, if I gave that reference out. And the point being, in the Old Testament saints believed in the bodily resurrection, even though the resurrection is talked about a lot more in the New Testament. And so Daniel chapter 12, it talks about two resurrections. Verse 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that shall be wise, and they that be wise, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And we have here the thought of two resurrections. And so, life and death. Turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 28. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Turn with me to Acts chapter 24. Verse 14 and 15. "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing in all the things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust." Again, the thought of two resurrections. Now, turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Helps us understand these two resurrections a little more. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his mark, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or live in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, one of the things that we can learn from the chapter 20 here of Revelation, is there's one advent that separates the first resurrection and the resurrection of damnation, or the second death, as we sometimes call it, and that is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, the first resurrection, you can study this yourself, but the first resurrection, the Bible talks about the resurrection of the just, talks about the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of life, and the first resurrection. And essentially, these are all the same. They are all one. Now, I think that sometimes when you read the resurrection of the dead, that's maybe not always the righteous. It could be the resurrection of damnation, but the context of the verse will explain that to us. It's not real hard to figure out. Because resurrection is used a lot of times in the Scripture. But the resurrection of the just, if you look at that verse, I think it's Luke 14, verse 14, talks about the resurrection of the just. The resurrection of the dead is talked about a lot, and also the resurrection of life. But as we look at Revelation and talking about the first resurrection, we understand a couple things. That the first resurrection is considered the resurrection of all those that have lived faithful throughout the years. And I know that you get into some of these subjects that people have different opinions of how it might come together, and that's fine, that's okay. It appears that this will happen in several stages. And I'm just going to read you the verses of the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It talks about the one resurrection. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that is obviously going to be a bodily resurrection when that takes place. And did you notice that? I'm going to point this out before I forget. Then we go back to John chapter 11. Maybe I should just go there so I don't misquote it. John chapter 11 says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, I couldn't help but notice that it appears to me that Jesus Christ, Jesus does not consider a person who has died in the Lord as death. He that believeth on me shall never die. Now, okay, so let's just kind of hold that thought, and now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, those who have already passed away and have lived a faithful life, I believe would be in that context. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, let's just think of for a minute here. I don't think there would be anything more sad than the death of someone who did not know Christ. I don't think there's anything more sad than the death of someone who did not know Christ. Let's read that verse again. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. There are people who die and have no hope. Okay. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we believe that, yes? Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And so the ones that you know who have gone before, God is going to bring with him. For this we say by the word of the Lord, and we which are alive and remain, if we are here at the coming of Christ, under the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And I believe that is there where they will be united with their earthly bodies. And then we which are alive and remain, which are still in our earthly bodies, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And so, also Revelation chapter 20, if you have time to study into that verse, there's some of those verses a little more. It appears that the tribulation saints will also be resurrected after, at maybe a different time. Also, I know that there is there's different opinions on the Old Testament saints. And I'll just share this. We were down at Bible school this year, and I'd asked Vernon Martin. I said, "What do you believe about this?" Sometimes there's a lot of value in picking somebody's brain, and someone who's studied the scriptures a lot. And he said, "Well, I loved his response. I just want to borrow it from him." He said, "Well, this is what I believe," but he said, "I have to admit there's not a lot to hang it on. I'm hanging on just about one or two verses." And he said, "You have to be a little careful with that." And I like that response. And because it's true that, the verse of the talk, taking captivity captive, it seems from that chapter that he took the Old Testament saints out. But at the same time, there are other verses that you'd almost counter that with. And so I don't know when that'll all come to play, but it does seem like the first resurrection that maybe happens in several periods. However, those only the ones who are saved will have part in that first resurrection. That's what Revelation says. And then I also, thinking about that concept, okay, those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. And so they are asleep in Jesus. They are with him, okay? And I want us to think about that thought that those, we see death on this earth, but we know that a person loved the Lord Jesus Christ and went to heaven, that they are asleep in Jesus. And God is going to bring them with him. And in that, Jesus has taken away the sting of death because he had power over death. We talked about the sting of death in 1 Corinthians 15. The sting of death is gone because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and because you and I can be part of the first resurrection. The sting of death is gone. And so, when the parting on this earth is very hard, yet let's remember that Jesus Christ does not look at it as death per se. They that believe in Christ shall never die. And they will come back with him. Those who are already gone ahead of us, they come back with him, and we meet him in the air. I also think of the verse in Hebrews. And it's also an illustration of how the Old Testament saints wanted to live their lives that they could be counted worthy of something more. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 of some of the Old Testament saints, they were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Why? That they might obtain a better resurrection. That was a future day they were looking for because Christ had not come yet. A better resurrection. Now, the resurrection of damnation is the only one we have left yet. And it continues to talk, it talks about that a little more. And it's called the second death. It's the resurrection of damnation. I think Daniel calls it that. It's called that a couple times in the scriptures. But we see this beginning in verse 6 again. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth, and they compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that is the resurrection of damnation, in that they have died twice. And we talk about the sting of death, and how there couldn't be anything more sad than the death of a person who is not ready to meet the Lord. But that is essentially what the first death. And then there's a second death that we just read about, when it is that person is taken and cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible says that is the second death. And those who do not know Jesus Christ, those who have rejected him and have not believed in identifying with his death and resurrection, will awake, as Daniel talks, to everlasting contempt and shame. This morning, I trust that each one here is living in the power of the resurrection, willing to deny themselves, willing to crucify the old man, die unto sin, surrender their life to Jesus Christ, because He is the only one that can give us the strength to do that. He really can. And I want us to claim this verse. If you're here and you know the Lord, again, I want us to claim this verse. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So that should be a tremendous comfort to the saints. That we do not need to fear death. Jesus has taken away the sting of death. And whenever we do die and we pass from this life, that we are simply going to that interchange between now and the first resurrection. And according to 1 Thessalonians 4, we will be in the presence of Jesus Christ, because those that went before will come with him, it says. May God help us, and may God help you this coming week to that your faith in Christ would be strengthened, and that you would believe in him, believe in his resurrection power, but also let's remember that the life of Jesus Christ, belief in the life of Jesus Christ is identifying with him in his suffering and being made conformable unto his death as well. Let us kneel for prayer.